Welcome to the third hour of the Internet Advisor today, and it's our question time for you. What that means is that you get to call us. You set the agenda with your question by calling us at 800-859-0957. And when we come back, we're going to dive right in and start answering questions from Al out in Canada and John and Taylor and, hey, you too. Give us a call at 800-859-0957. We're waiting to help you with your computer problems here on the Internet Advisor. Welcome aboard the Internet Advisor for your hour, when you get to ask the questions. And by the way, our mantra here is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Your question can help a lot of people. You can speak for a lot of people with your question. That could be very simple. It could be complex. It doesn't matter. I'm sure we would all prefer the simpler answers, right, Ed?
Well, we have a better chance of answering them.
That's right. You know, there was nothing more frustrating than when I was traveling last week with my wife, and the hotel internet service was like dial-up.
Oh.
And they haven't upgraded in several years. And in several years, what has happened? Everyone now has portable media, tablets,
yes,
cell phones that connect to Wi-Fi. I mean, and we talked about this before, that most people have to upgrade their home wireless networks because usually home wireless routers can usually handle 20 simultaneous connections. Well, heck, I have at least 40 wireless devices at my house.
Mm-hmm.
When there's four people in there, you know?
Yeah.
So
between cell phones and
can you imagine going to a hotel? And,
yeah.
Well, that's why I always bring my own personal hotspot, so I don't have to deal with that.
Right. Yeah. And I could have done that, but I wanted something to complain about.
I thought maybe you found it.
I thought maybe you just wanted to live like a pioneer, you know, going back to the old ways.
Yeah. Whether you want to or not, you're going back to the old ways.
I wanted to get my wife off Facebook. That's what it really was.
Yeah. Hey, well, let's go on to our phone calls then and welcome Al from Canada. Welcome, Al, to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Appreciate you taking the call.
Certainly.
I have an Asus laptop. It's about a year old.
Okay.
Windows 8.1, i3 with 1.9 processor, 6,000 RAM, and 1 terabyte on the hard drive there.
Okay.
Now, my challenge is until I finally learned, get off of Internet Explorer and use Firefox. What a huge difference. It really picked up my speed, but I'm still running into some hang-up challenges. And I was wondering, do these PC cleaners really work, the ones that are supposed to clean out the junk?
And this would be in order to speed up your connection? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, sometimes it takes a while to get through on an Internet connection.
Uh-huh.
And I've checked my speed. My profile is right. I'm getting what I'm paying for.
Okay.
And the computer seems to work pretty good.
Well, there's two things I think there, guys. One is, you know, that there are cleaning out your system, quote-unquote, cleaning out your system. And then the other issue is the speed. And they could have very different reasons for that.
Well, sometimes, you know, taking and dumping your cache, right, will take and slow down your computer.
Oh, yeah, because you have to go back to those sites again and again.
That's right.
So it depends what you mean.
When they clean them up, that's supposed to speed them up, and it doesn't.
It depends what you mean by cleaning up. If you're talking about cleaning temporary files or if you're talking about getting rid of unwanted programs, also make sure that you have good antivirus software, that you use an anti-malware program like Malwarebytes to do, if you didn't pay for it, do an occasional scan, uninstall unwanted programs that you're not using. You have a computer that was purchased at a store, and it probably shipped with all sorts of software that was used to, you know, reduce the price of the computer when it was sold to you by whoever.
It could be a photo suite that's on there that, you know, you don't need, or it could be almost any other thing.
Yeah. And the other thing is changing your home page. Whatever landing page you start up your browser on, you have to realize you're going out to these websites. The first thing they're going to throw on your computer is all the ads. And most of the ads are now on multimedia. How many times have you gone to a website, or I'm sitting there and I'm across the room and then some ad comes up and it's talking to me?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times changing your homepage will do that. Kel, do you have any other suggestions?
Well, one thing in regards to ordering one of those cleaners for your computer, the legitimate ones that do any cleaning, all they're doing for you is taking the tools that already exist on the machine and kind of bundling them in a package.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it yourself.
Oh.
You know, you can take care of your disk cleaning up and that sort of thing. You can clean up your internet files. You can do all those things. Matter of fact, if you search on the, you do a a Google search, you can find guys who have put out lists that tell you exactly the things you need to do that will clean equivalent to what you're going to pay on that sort of thing.
And the other thing, I read this last week and I didn't get a chance to confirm it, but I understand Opera Now is a web browser that we've used in the past, but now they've come out with a one that has an integrated ad blocker integrated into it.
Wow.
So you could download an Opera and it will basically prevent most of those ads, because right now you're using Firefox and you've said you've noticed a substantial improvement in performance.
Yes, absolutely, and much easier to use.
Yes.
Okay.
So you might want to try Opera.
Internet Explorer kept locking up on me, and that's why I got out of it, because I was having to reboot the computer and start again, and, you know,
well, there's
it just
also
got a little frustrating, and someone said, go with the Firefox.
Well, there's also a lot of other things with 8.1. You may actually receive an increase in performance if you go to Windows 10. A lot of people don't like 10, and I've had a number of listeners that have asked me, I hate Windows 10. Such and such stopped working. Well, it depends on who the manufacturer of your computer.
Yeah, but
and if they provided Microsoft with the updated software drivers for your video card, your sound card, your USB.
And his Asus machine came with 8.1. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it came with 8.1, which means your step up to 10 is really it's just an improvement. It's an upgrade.
Right. Now I've seen several things that basically you can. And I'm trying to remember the website. There's a number of things you can disable within Windows 8.1 and 10 that'll substantially improve your performance. One of them, if you were running Windows 10, is Cortana, the voice recognition stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So,
those some things. Anyway, we'll see if we can find that to post it for you on our homepage at Internet Advisor.
Yeah,
I found out from the people that sold me my computer, Microsoft has been sending Windows 10 through to...
We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a bit when we come back. That's right, and John from Taylor will be with you in just a moment. And for the rest of you out there, a fair warning to you, we're getting kind of into the rhythm of this thing now, that every week here on Saturdays at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6, this will be the time for you to call in with your questions for our team here, Ed Riddell, Cal Carson, Gary Baker, and we also are delighted to have Stephen Fox with us as well, who's a security expert with the government. And thanks for sticking around, Stephen. Glad to have you here as well.
And apologies to the last caller. We had to cut them off before they reiterated that. But we'll be posting some information on the InternetAdvisor.net website about PC cleaning utilities and maybe some articles about how to speed up your computer.
It's worth saying this, by the way. You will hear, for instance, advertised on this station. You'll see them on TV, et cetera, PC cleaners. And they all have various merits to them.
Yes.
And what they are doing essentially is they're collecting certain things that they're doing for you, which, as Cal said, you actually can do yourself. But if you like the convenience of having one, press one button and it does all these other things, fine. And, can take that into consideration. But what Cal said before is true, that you can pretty much do all of that on your own without having to spend
money. And a lot of times a computer becomes slow because of the Microsoft security bundles that are pushed and updated. Or the updates are pushed to your computer. Sometimes my computer just, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? My PC's just dragging. All I want to do is look at my Facebook page, and then I have to slap my forehead and going, I'm getting a security update. Because I know what, Control-Alt-Delete and bring up Task Manager, and I go, oh, Windows Update's running.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come back in half an hour, and sure enough, I'm getting those updates.
My wife is.
Or Adobe, or Java.
Yep. Yes, exactly. Okay, the number again, 800-859-0957. And I'll give you the warning now that I usually do a little later on. Don't wait till later to call in, because inevitably, towards the end of the program, we get a whole bunch of people calling in, and you don't get a chance to get on with your question. So call in right now and get ahead of the rush. 800-859-0957. John from Taylor, how may we help you here at the Internet Advisor?
Well, I hope my question isn't too easy for you. I'm actually just getting an internet connection on Monday.
Okay.
And I'm looking to get just a simple laptop, for some internet purchases, looking up some things, maybe some mild storage, but no printing really or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want something that's dependable, and I am not familiar with laptops. I've always used ones at work. Mm-hmm. So I'm, very familiar with computers. There's no problem there. It's just, what to look for in a laptop.
So you're looking for a laptop that will be able, you kind of sit on the couch. Gary talks about sitting out in the backyard in the porch, you know, with a nice tea and enjoying the summer sun or whatever it may be, and just having the convenience of having your computer there with you, right?
Yes, and there's internet purchases. There's a lot of stuff on the internet that you can't buy in a store.
Sure, sure. And you want to have the convenience of that, but you're not going to be doing anything like editing photos or videos or doing huge sound files.
No, no.
Right.
No downloading movies or anything like that.
All right, guys. Well,
not yet anyway. You might find that you're going to like to do that at some point.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't mind upgrading in the future if I have the need to. That's why I wanted to kind of get with you and don't buy, you know, I don't want to buy a super laptop and then find out, well, I'm not satisfied with it and I need to buy a, you know, a better desktop.
Well, you're asking a question, excuse me, John, you're asking a question that a lot of our listeners, we see it often in the emails, and the basic, you know, what's a basic computer for me? And guys, how do you start answering that kind of a question?
But even a basic computer, you can watch a movie on.
Absolutely. Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. To me, it's always about price. How much are you willing to get rid of or spend? obviously, you're already paying a monthly fee for your internet access. When my son went to college, he wanted to get a top-of-the-line computer, and he spent $900 to $1,000 for a laptop with the touchscreen at the time. And my rationale is, why don't you buy three cheap 325 laptops? That way, when you break it, you just take the other $325 that you set aside, and you'll get a next-gen computer. He would not listen to me. And what did he do in his first year of college?
He broke it.
There went $1,000.
A gravity event, was it?
Yeah.
Well, I like your ideas there.
the other possibility is tablets.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
You can get an Android tablet, 11-inch, for under $100, and have internet capability, web surfing capability. You can watch movies with it. You could type with it. You can buy an external Bluetooth keyboard.
Yeah, but a tablet is more of a consuming device. If you never have to create much of anything, then I guess it works out okay.
Yeah, email and maybe a document.
Yeah.
So what I would recommend is looking into various netbooks. Mm-hmm. So netbooks fill that space between a full-blown laptop and that tablet.
So what would those be?
I think a Chromebook would probably be a good choice.
You know, that's that.
Yeah, because Chromebook operates, you know, all your software applications are running off of Google's mainframe.
Mm-hmm.
Everything
mm-hmm.
is cloud-based.
Now, the other thing that we don't often talk about that you will want, you'll need, and that is a wireless router.
Which right? most internet ISPs provide that.
Well,
most do.
Do they? I thought they can. Yeah. So I would buy one rather than rent one from the...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right? Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cheaper. You get a lower cable rate if you buy your own.
Now, and the one thing you want to do is you want to make sure that you buy the most recent, which is AC, right?
You mean 802.11 AC?
Clarify what AC means.
I'm sorry. 802.11 AC. But if you, they're all 802.11. That's the
specification.
The protocol, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then just if you make sure that you buy an AC.
AC?
Like ACDC.
Apple Charlie.
Yeah.
Alternating current.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is, I was really impressed with TP-Link. As far as a manufacturer, mm-hmm. ASUS makes wireless mm-hmm. routers now, mm-hmm. and TP-Link also does.
Yeah. You know, one of our callers just before you from Canada was saying that he had just bought an ASUS, A-S-U-S. Mm-hmm. They put out some lower end, they're a little cheaper, computers, laptops.
Now, they're not very low end. They're actually, they make both low end and high end, yes.
Exactly, but I was looking at one, for instance, in the Microsoft store the other day for about $350, maybe a little under that. The other one was HP. They call the HP Stream. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a netbook in the sense that it has a less powerful processor, but it has enough RAM on it, et cetera, to get the job done.
So yeah, the best thing, go to the store and just touch and feel. Was that where you're going to go, Gary?
Yep, exactly.
Cal, that's your advice always, is to get out there to the store,
anytime.
Get your hands on it.
Yeah, because that way you can see the screen, see if it's bright enough, big enough, lovely enough for you. You can feel the keys on the keyboard, get that sensitivity. Does it feel good to you? You can just kind of pick it up. Is it too heavy to carry around? Did Gary tell me a story or not? You know, that sort of thing. You can get into all the ergonomics of a device that you're going to spend some money on and going to be using a lot.
And I discovered that my IBM, but my Lenovo, ThinkPad that I had has the worst speakers in the world, and I wish I would have, tested those out when I purchased those.
And, you know, the interesting part, if you go to a big box store like a Best Buy, there are times if you want the latest, greatest, you know, online will tend to have the best pricing. But there are a lot of really good deals at Best Buy, and if you're not looking for this year's model, you're willing to accept last year's model, which, by the way, you should be willing to accept last year's model because they're really good. You can get some pretty decent deals, and you know exactly what you're buying.
You know, let's wrap this up with one more thing. I'd suggest you go back to internetadvisor.net under podcasts. Click on that. And we did an entire program. It was called Choosing Your Next Laptop, and we had a lot of stuff on that program that would give you information. As a matter of fact, we brought on board, as an example, a 2016 Lenovo 15.6-inch premium laptop, blah, blah, blah. It was like, was it $350, I think? No, $259 was an example.
And we've had a guest on here because Lenovo has an excellent customer warranty. Mm-hmm. You know, and usually better than most of the other major manufacturers.
Yeah, and the spyware from China is pretty decent too, so that doesn't slow you down any when they steal your stuff.
I think that's a little okay, Gary. We get it.
Come on. Anyway, John, I would suggest you go. It was a program that we did about I think four programs ago. But if you go to internetadvisor.net and then click on the podcast there, it'll take you back down. I think it's four programs ago, so I'm not quite sure what the date on it was, but the title of the program is Choosing Your Next Laptop, and we had a lot of information in there, and I would suggest that to other people as well.
And only one other topic that you need to consider, and that is, do you want touchscreen or not? If we went around the room here, we don't have unanimity on that. I say I will never buy another laptop without touchscreen.
Yeah.
But not everybody agrees with me. So
I eat too many jelly sandwiches to have a touchscreen.
That peanut butter comes off, no problem.
Hey, just like a tablet. Just like
we talked before about the fingerprints.
I'm not a big fan of touchscreens.
Yep, yeah, I knew we wouldn't have I wouldn't buy another one without.
I had to see my wife has Jenny has a touchscreen, and the times that I've used her computer, I've enjoyed that being there. Okay, John, thank you very much, and do check out that other podcast and look at that. Okay, number 800-859-0957. The lovely Logan is waiting to talk to you, our producer. Craig from Shelby, Ohio, will be with you when we come back from the Internet Advisor. And once again, the fair warning is get your calls in now so we can get to answering your questions at 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor on the air for you. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Kel Carson, and Stephen Fox is in studio. Stephen, you've got to tell that anecdote. That is incredible. Hit the button there and tell us that one. We're talking about how we interact with our computers, folks, just before we get back. And we've been talking about, you know, touchscreen or using the pointer.
Or voice recognition.
So we're talking about with Amazon, now they have this Alexa that you can talk to. Or what's the smaller one?
Echo?
Echo. Yeah, so that's an area called ambient computing. What it does is it listens to you and collects information about what it hears, but then it goes out to the internet and does searches. And one of my friends had this for about 2 or 3 weeks, and one day it said, oh, you should go have breakfast at this place. It's on the way to work.
It made that suggestion just out of the blue, right?
And he went there, and it matched everything he had eaten for the past 3 weeks.
So I had a similar experience just recently. Jumped in the car from work, it said, based on traffic, it's going to take you an hour and a half to get home.
Yep. Oh, okay. So it gauges that.
It knew my route at that time of the day.
Oh, wow.
And it matched up with Google traffic. Right, and it told me how long it was going to take me to get home.
And mine said
that it knew where I was going.
Yep, and mine basically told me, shouldn't you be doing laundry right now?
Yeah,
you know, I'm just kidding, of course.
You got the honey. No, your wife has been whispering the honeydew list to it. Craig from Shelby, Ohio, welcome to the Internet Advisor and the future.
Hey, it's been a while, guys.
Hey, how you doing, Craig? Good talking to you.
Yeah, that was great advice on that. That laptop, especially, you know, the touchscreen thing, because they issued us one at work where I work, and it was a Surface.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hated it.
Mm.
Really? And the other problem with some of these, you know, the port where the power supply goes in, it's magnetic. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you got this tiny little port with, you know, several, I don't know, half dozen ports on it. What do you suppose builds up on those magnets near that port?
dirt
in an industrial environment.
Dirt.
Oh, and it's filings.
Savings.
Little fine metal filings build up on that, and it gets inside that.
Yeah, so I bet you've gone through a couple bricks. Your power chargers have shorted out, I would imagine.
It didn't happen to me, but it did happen to another guy.
I've heard of that with the Macs, yeah.
That is fascinating.
In an industrial environment.
So what can we do for you, sir?
What I did was I had a gateway, and I had the intelligence to back it up on a 32-gig flash drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then my hard drive went about a month later, so I got all this backed up.
Okay.
I've never transferred the data from a backup to another laptop. How do I do that?
Ah.
Well, when you said did you use a program called Intelligence, or you had the intelligence to back up?
I think he had the intelligence.
I had the intelligence.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I hadn't heard of a backup program called Intelligence. What a great name.
It's smart.
Okay.
That's what you guys preach all the time.
Yep.
How did you
back it up?
You said it backed it up on the flash drive, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now you got your new computer. And you, when you backed it up, did you just use Windows Explorer and drag and copy it there?
I think I did.
Okay, well, if you just did it that way, then it's just a simple matter of plugging it into the USB port of the new machine that you have and just dragging the data over to the appropriate places you'd like to place it.
Okay.
Yeah, it is really that simple.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Okay, my next question. I can replace a flash drive on my gateway, and I really liked it for about, I think, $70. I could do it myself, I think. But can I reload what is in this flash drive back on my gateway?
Well, okay, the first part. So you said you could buy a new hard drive, is that what you said, for about $70?
Yeah.
Okay, and what operating system was it?
Windows 7, that was my next question.
Yeah, so I actually ran into this not too long ago, 4 months ago. And so I went to Microsoft's website and was able to download an entire installation for Windows 7 from Microsoft as an ISO file, and they provide it free to download. The thing is, you need a product key, right? Yeah, a license key. Yeah. The good news is that most computers that shipped with Windows 7 has the BIOS type that actually stores the product key in the BIOS.
Wow.
So all you do is you start the installation of Windows 7, and it'll probably never prompt you to enter in your
product key.
When it's done, it'll just say, you're probably like me, and like at some point it's supposed to ask you. It doesn't. It pulls it automatically from the BIOS, the EUFI BIOS. It's stored there, and you should be good to go at that point.
You said Microsoft Download Center, and go to what?
Well, in Microsoft's Download Center, I used Bing. Google wouldn't provide me, but I basically said, in Bing, how do I download Windows 7? And Microsoft provides you the ability to download Windows 10, Windows 8.1, Windows 8, and Windows 7 as a
an ISO file.
As an ISO file in which you can create either a DVD or a bootable flash drive to perform the installation. Now, none of those would work, of course, unless you had a product key. The good news is that in modern computers with the UEFI BIOS, that the product key is actually stored in the hardware, in the BIOS of your computer. So if you could slap a new hard drive in there, throw in the installation media, it'll pull the product key in there. Now, that's not 100% all the time, but on the three computers I did it 3 months ago or 4 months ago, that was the case. And then, of course, then I was able to then upgrade to Windows 10 afterwards on a clean platform.
Right. Okay, Craig?
I got a blue screen on my gateway now, so the hard drive's gone. But if I put another hard drive into it brand new, am I going to be able to get into the BIOS?
You don't even need to do that. You just throw in the... Well, yes, you'll be able to get into the BIOS, but there really shouldn't be a need to go into the BIOS. The product key is not even available through the interface in the BIOS. You just have to have bootable media to format the hard drive and start installing the operating system.
So you put the new hard drive in there?
Yep. Pretty much.
Insert the DVD or the USB?
Now, I've also downloaded, how hard of a crash did your other computer die, your other hard drive? Is it just...
How hard?
How hard of a crash? Is it like... I mean, what I'm saying is I can use a bootable flash drive from like Heron's boot CD and boot off of it, and I can use a Microsoft... It has a product key stripper, so I can actually strip the product key off the hard drive. I mean, the hard drive may not be bootable, but your files are there in a lot of cases.
It sounds a little more complicated than we can handle right now. But I tell you what, if you have further questions on it, why don't you send us an email through the internetadvisor.net site?
Yeah, I can.
And Ed will do a little more research on that.
Craig, I'll look forward to that email.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll get that out today.
Okay, great.
So
thanks a million.
I guess I'll jump in here. I don't want to make this too well known, because if people don't have problems, then they won't call us and our show will go off the air. But I don't back up anymore.
Yes, you bragged about that before.
I don't. Why would anybody do that?
Right. Speed of recovery.
No, I completely disagree. And here's the reason. Here's what I do. Okay. I for $99, I have all of my family has Office 365 from Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
So I can put on all of my Microsoft tools on any device I want for any five people. Now I only have four in my family, so I adopted my sister-in-law. And that's what I do. So now I just take and store everything in the cloud on OneDrive. I never store anything on my computer. And if I want to use it from another machine, I can use it from another machine. I get everything from my computer on my phone, and everything on my phone to my iPad, and everything on my iPad to my computer, because I don't know what device I'm going to need. And then if I need to encrypt anything in addition, because there's a couple files I don't want other people to see, and I just do file-level encryption for those files in particular. But it's all stored in the... So then if I lose this, somebody steals it, or if the hard drive crashes, I just go get another computer.
If I'm working on
it. And I just dial in to my account.
But I can't do that with a two-hour video that I'm editing. That is too big to store up in the cloud. For one, it cost me a mint to do that sort
of
thing.
No, it doesn't.
And
no,
move
it doesn't.
Well, but I couldn't edit it from the cloud.
Yes,
I have
you can.
To edit... Not...
Well, I use CyberLink. And CyberLink gives you cloud space. Now, they give it to you for the first year, and you have to pay $20 for the second year, and it's 20 gigabytes. So that's what I use. Well, and I do this because I do all the videotaping for my son's lacrosse team. And I do all the editing in the cloud.
And you use what tool?
CyberLink.
See, I use a different editing tool, if editing suite. There's a lot more complexity
but
to
that,
it.
But that was the one... Oh, point. So anyway,
but at any rate, there's
just
two different
thought,
ways
now,
to go.
People listening, don't do that, because you got to have problems with your computer so you can call us and stand there.
All right. Speaking of which, okay. Nancy from Ohio, right. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. May we help you?
Hi, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
I have an HP One that I've had for about a year and a half, and I have Windows 10 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything works great. It works really fast. But my Yahoo Mail is really slow, and I can go in there and try to type an email, and I type like three or four letters,
mm-hmm.
or word, you know, letters, and then it just like stops and has to catch up, and I do three or four more, and it stops and has
okay.
to catch up.
So it's dragging, all right.
Man, I've never had that happen before.
And it's with your Yahoo Mail. That's where you have the problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
the
only thing that works.
Okay. And that's the only thing you have that problem with, though, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And this is you said it's an HP One?
HP One.
Okay. And you've had it for how long now?
About a year, year and a half.
Well, the first thing to do, of course, is try using an alternate web browser, right? Because what web browser are you using to access your Yahoo Mail?
I don't know.
Is it Internet Explorer? Because usually Yahoo Mail is web-based mail. So if you're using Internet Explorer, try Firefox or Google
or Chrome.
Because more than likely you have a toolbar by Yahoo that's probably doing spell checking and stuff like that on the fly.
Right.
So hold on 1 second.
Yeah, why don't you hold on and we'll check with you offline about that. But generally speaking, having more than one browser is a great way of troubleshooting this kind of thing. Back in just a minute with Paul and Anthony as well. I'd like to thank our crew here in studio who've been answering questions, and By the way, Paul and Anthony, and maybe one more call we're getting in before we wrap up. Thank you for calling. We'll get you in just a second. Gary, thank you for being here. Ed, Cal, and Stephen, thank you very much as well. Stephen Fox for joining us. Been good to have your expertise on voice. And behind the glass, thank you, Logan, our producer, and also Eric Dorge, who's there as our engineer. Had a great show today. By the way, starting next week, Dr. Dean is back. That's right. The garden specialist will be here from 3 to 4, and then we'll be on from 4 to 6. That'll be our regular spot here, 4 to 6 o'clock, generally speaking. An occasion may be bumped, but that will be the place that you'll be able to find us until sometime in August when the big brutes come back, take the field, and we get pushed around a little bit. And it'll be kind of interesting this year because the Detroit Lions will be forming. We'll be joining that group.
Well, but hopefully they won't be on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that's true.
So we don't
certainly
care.
Hope so. In any case, if you have a question for us and you haven't been able to get to the phone right now, you've been driving or whatever the case may be, simply go to internetadvisor.net and we have a contact button up there. Click on that. Send us an email during the week and Ed and Cal and myself and Shane and Gary and a few other people there are going to take a crack at answering that question for you, okay? Thank you very much. Let's go to Paul, who is with us from Royal Oak. Paul, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we serve you today?
Thank you. I'll try and make it fast and listen to the answer off the phone.
Well, we can wait. Go ahead. Just go ahead
well,
and ask
me. I think somebody's hacked into my toilet.
You think somebody's hacked into your what?
Toilet, and which has led me to the next question, the Lenovo computers. How can we be certain that those are put together in a safe and secure manner? In fact, does anybody check that computers which are manufactured in the Far East...
You're concerned that there might be some form of insecurity simply from the place that they've been put together. Let's deal with that rather than the plumbing. Guys, what do you think? What do you say? You know, people are getting, I think, maybe more and more paranoid about things that are coming from overseas. You know, our computers are built, you know, mainly. I mean, a lot of them are built in China or in other places. They're put together or they're pieced together from things that come from those foreign countries. How secure are they when they arrive? Or is there a possibility there's stuff that's hidden in there for the most insecure people?
Well, if they hid stuff in there and they got discovered, that would just kill their business right then and there. So, I mean, if they really, really want to keep their business going, they wouldn't do that sort of thing. How secure is it? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But yeah. We've decided in this society over here that we want it cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we're going to get it cheaper is to take it somewhere where there's a cheaper workforce and they can take advantage of it to be able to deliver cheaper products, and that's where it is.
And that's part of the price of that.
That's the price.
Yeah, and if you remember, 10 years ago, remember when photo frames were the rage and everyone got one as a stocking stuffer?
Oh, yeah.
Where you take your digital photographs. Well, there was a point, remember, where they found viruses planted on those things because they were USB devices. As soon as you plugged it in, it attempted to automatically install a program on your computer, mm-hmm. right? So there was a point where some of these photo frames that were being shipped over, someone on the line actually mm-hmm. slipped in this. Well, mm-hmm. that was, you know, disastrous for that company.
Yeah,
you know,
so the companies do check on some of that.
Yep.
Lenovo, two different times last year, in the bloatware, not in the computer itself,
yes.
but in the bloatware, there were people that found security holes, not malicious viruses, but security
holes.
Gary,
explain bloatware just for people.
That's just the software that comes packaged on the computer to
like
make the computer
like a
cheaper.
Picture suite or
right.
something, you know, whatever. You know.
And the manufacturers do that because mm-hmm. they get paid to do that, and it reduces the price that they can charge or have to charge to the customer. Mm-hmm. So you get a cheaper computer because they bundle this bloatware on. My suggestion, take anything you don't want off. I take it all off.
Yeah.
Right? And put, if I want something back on, I'll put it on.
Do you remember, guys, Eddie, you remember the early days, I think you were on when C Cleaner came out, and it was, the C stood for.
Yeah. Cleaner, yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
that was
crud
close.
Cleaner.
Yeah,
crud
close.
Cleaner. And it was because the fellow who developed it was fed up with getting a new computer and having it jammed with bloatware, you know, our special photo suite and our special suite. There's all of these things and games and everything else under the sun. He says, I don't want that stuff because it was clogging up his computer to start out of the gate.
Yeah. And had he bought a Mac, he wouldn't have had that problem. You know the story entirely.
Well, not completely. But anyway, and so really what happens is all the manufacturers do scan all of that. So there's not a there's very little chance there's a virus in the bloatware.
Right.
But what happens is they can't scan. There's nothing that they can scan to identify all the security holes where there might be a way that somebody could then use that hole.
A vulnerability in the computer.
Right? And that's basically software, and there's ways they can do it, but they can't do it 100% accuracy.
Well,
and they found that, and that's why I wouldn't allow the bloatware to stay on.
Right. And you know, there was like a point in time where basically the U.S. government, a lot of companies said, don't use WoW, WOW gateways and routers. They're a manufacturer of routers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So because they came over from China and they said, don't do it. There might be hidden code in there. Well, and then lo and behold, there was products that were developed in the United States that were sent overseas that actually had federal monitoring equipment that was sent over to China. So we're both doing it to each other's countries. Yeah. Just at what level, you know, it really depends.
I want to take Anthony's call from Dearborn, and then I'd be interested to hear, Stephen, what your comments on this are. But let's go to Anthony in Dearborn. I want to make sure we get your question in before we wrap things up here on the Easter weekend. Hi, Anthony. How you doing?
Hi. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Sure.
I'll make it as quick as possible. I have an older operating system and an older computer. I have an old Gateway desktop, and it's a wired computer, hardwired. And also my operating system is the old Windows XP Home Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the past, I've had this for about 15 years, this computer, and I've tried to keep it updated with updates from microwaves, official sites, or even third-party sites. And I'm finding less and less availability of any kind of updates.
Yep.
What I used to do, because my installation disk is Service Pack 2, I used to go to Microsoft's download site and download Service Pack 3, but that's no longer available.
Right.
And I was very fortunate to get a disk that my sister's boyfriend had, which is XP Home Edition with Service Pack 3 already installed. My question is, as time goes on, it's probably going to be harder and harder for me to download an update drivers and download updates from any site. Is that correct?
You are absolutely correct, sir.
It's time to get off the horse. This one's been ridden all the way to the
donkey.
Yeah.
When you don't have a lot of extra cash, you got to
make do with what you have.
But, you know, earlier on, Stephen Fox is here recommended, for instance, a Chromebook. Those things run like $125-150. I mean, you're gonna have to let loose of some money at some point, or even buying a used computer.
But $125 you will get so much faster speed.
Okay. It'd
be so much better. It's so much more secure.
So, another recommendation I would give is look into taking my Windows off your computer altogether and replacing them with Linux.
There you go.
So Ubuntu Linux is the most Windows-like Linux distribution out there. It's very easy to install, and you won't even think it's Linux.
So there's it. There's another solution, but you are definitely entering into the twilight zone with that. And Anthony,
he could probably get $125 from a museum somewhere.
Anthony, thank you very much for calling, and a happy Easter weekend to you. For the rest of you folks, thank you so much. Stephen Fox, thank you for joining us. It's been a delight having you in studio.
Oh, thank you.
Cal, Ed, and Gary, have a very good weekend
coming up.
Holiday weekend for those of you who celebrate Easter, and we hope you have a blessed one. If you want to hear the rest of the program, we had 3 hours. Sunday night, check us out. We'll have all 3 hours posted at internetadvisor.net, and you can download the podcast there. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, by the way, by looking for Internet Advisor podcast feed and subscribe every week. Or you can go to podcastdetroit.com and also find our weekly feeds there. Thank you very much to Logan Standifer and to Eric Dorsch behind the screens, and to all of you, have a great weekend. You